We have some empty seats up here. Let's fill them. Come on up, guys. Now. Wayne, come on up. Mike, is Mike settling the troops down in the back? Have a seat.
It wasn't me.
Oh, he left.
Chick.
Oh. We've been doing this for a while, this church thing. Evangel was planted out of Shekinah 28 years in February ago. Shekinah was growing. We had a lot of leaders who were ready to do something. There was not much room to lead, and so we started a church, and most of Evangel, when it started, was people who had been at Shekinah for a while and were leaders. And Wayne and Rick and Mike were elders. Go ahead and have a seat. Make yourself at home. This is Mike Fox, Wayne Nelson, and Rick Stonix is somewhere in Eastern Oregon hunting. And they were elders from the beginning. So these guys have been elders for a long, long time, which is really rare. When I have some friends in town who are leaders, and they're amazed. And I tell them the key to having elders stick around for a long time and serve as elders for a long time is don't ever make decisions. You know, just don't vote on anything ever, and just keep loving each other and sticking together. And these guys have really stuck with the whole thing for a long time. Kevin and Patrick, who are down the end, how long have you guys been elders? Like 10 years or something?
Six
or 7 years. And the reason why we added them as elders is not because to reward them because they were doing such a great job at anything. It's just that we needed more elders as a body. And there may come a time when we grow and we need more elders. But right now, this works pretty good between these five guys and myself, and I consider myself one of the elders. We don't run the church. We just love each other and love the people who are part of Evangel. Who called it? I mean, like we've said so many times, you have no, like Jody said, you can't pick your family. Your family is whoever walks through the door, and you're just stuck with it. You just have to love people. And if people decide they're going to stick around and be part of this family, then we love each other. We just do that. And so instead of having, when we do pastor's appreciation, a lot of times we have another pastor from the community come in and speak. And this year we want to do something different, and the elders are going to paint a picture of what it looks like for Evangel moving forward, where we're at right now, and then looking forward, this is what they see. And so they've all got kind of an area that they're going to focus on, but we thought this would be a good idea for you to get a picture of, as a leadership, what we see as we look ahead. And they can. Nobody told them necessarily what to do. They can do whatever they want to do. But these are the guys who are serving you. They're the ones who watch over you as a congregation. They're the ones who make sure that you have what you need to be who God's called you to be. And they're really important, not because of their influence necessarily or what they do, but they're really important because every congregation needs people who watch over them, who care for them. And we all look at it the same way. None of us look at it as a job. We look at it as a place to serve. And that's the way we look at our role, and we look at the congregation. We're here to serve each other. So, I don't know who wants to go first. Mike?
I'd like to. I was going to be gone hunting too, but things changed, so here I am. My subject was, we got assigned things to talk about. And the I'd have to reread my email, but unity of the, like the vision for it. But so anyway, this can be a, I remember Renee gets saved, and so she starts going to church. And once in a while, I would go there because she just wouldn't leave me alone. So I'd go. It made me nervous. I didn't like it, or I kind of liked it, or I don't know, whatever it was like. But so a couple years later, I got saved, asked Jesus into my heart. So, and then have been serving ever since, like right away. But, you know, it's today, our grandson Doc, our youngest, we got 5 grandkids, he's 5 years old, and he goes, I don't want to go to church, it makes me nervous, you know. And I'm thinking, that's true. It can make you nervous. It's kind of like you're making a decision, you're coming, and it's kind of like, you know, he goes, I don't want to go there, because he's gone there. Once he was up here, and he's like started dancing around, because, and it just goes, I can't deal with, you know, if you could say that, but he's got a pretty good vocabulary. But I somehow have naturally, I mean, when you do stuff and it just seems natural, like you're just doing it. It's like the kids, that's where I've found myself being kind of oversight for that. But it's, you know, you're taking a risk when you come here, and really what you're supposed to do, no guilt or anything, but you're supposed to get involved somehow or another and let people know you. Because you matter. It really means something. Every person, you know, it's very emphasized in the scriptures that each and every person is important. I mean, yeah, some people get up front. I don't really care for it, but I'm here. But anyway, but there's all these opportunities to Bible studies. There's the camp out. We do this kids thing. I've invited, anybody can come to that, even if it's a cool thing to do. Kids get baptized, have adults got baptized, I think, yeah. So, but anyway, there's opportunities for you to, and it's not like, you know, get involved, it's kind of like be known, have a voice, or if you don't want to talk, that's cool, you can just be there, you know, but the point of that is you're important. You hold the spot. You can also develop and open up and be more what you're supposed to be, you know. And so I'm on my way. So I drop Doc off. So they're, you know, my son. And this is not like some put down. It's just like obviously they have no clue about. My daughter used to go to church with this, but it's just not on there. They're making like Bloody Marys. They're gonna watch the football game. He had a bunch of buddies over, and it's kind of like, so then I go to Winco and get a bunch of snacks. There's just people roaming around. Maybe they're Catholics and they did mass early or something, or seventh, maybe they're Seventh Day Adventists, I don't know. But for the, pretty much it's just not a value. And you know, obviously maybe there's somebody who got forced in here, some, but for the most part you've made a priority to be here. You intentionally have come here, and I would just want to reassure you that you can be part of, more a part of things, you know. And I think, you know, you're gonna get loved, and you're gonna get even challenged by the Lord. Hopefully, not by the Holy Spirit, not by us. Just to wrap up my little talk here, I should read a scripture. you know, that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection 3 times, but this is like, Jeff has been a really good example to me. He's a kind person, and you know, I have been encouraged by him to be more kind, because I can be honoring and be, you know, I got this image thing, you know, because I'm a logger and I got to be tough and I'm blah, blah, blah. So it's like, so I've got to like deal with, you know, is that my identity and stuff like that. So you're such a good example. You are a city boy, but, you know, I've got you to shoot some guns and kind of get dirty, whatever. But So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." And he said, said again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." The point of that would be like, hey, look, I'm not mad. I'm very, you know, this is the whole point of the whole thing, the people. And I'm really emphasizing this to you, you know, and you're also kind of a hard-headed and, you know, he's addressing his personality. He's kind of like, you know, he gets PO'd because he kept saying it to him. It's like, you know, Peter was like, hey, you know, lay off or whatever. But, so anyway, it's kind of like Jeff is tending his sheep and I'm following his example. We're following his example. It's like there's, and then I also, I'm sorry. One more, but when, and I've been out of the loop, I've been working late and I'm all filthy, dirty, and sometimes I come here that way, but it's like, I know that I want to get back. I want to go to the Bible study. I want to do this. I want to do that. And we live way out in the sticks, and it's sometimes you're home, you're going, oh, there's no way I can't drive clear back to town. But I'm also feel, it's not guilt, it's just like I want to be part of that. I have a place, you know, and I need to be in it, not because I'm an elder or anything. Just, and so I would just encourage you to think about that. You're really important. Okay, done.
Where mic?
Oh, here, you got your own. Woo-hoo. Yeah, we have our own microphones.
Looks like I'm next. I said I'll be next. I figure Wayne can pick up the rear. It was interesting because I love when the pastor that Tammy asked said no. It's like, gosh, what do we do now? And then come up with this idea. And it's something I've wanted to do for some time is actually have the elders, because some of us don't know who the elders are. Some of us elders wonder that too, right? And so we have a ball. And Tammy and Jeff picked out like four little items, four or five, and to talk on. And for some reason I got the outreach one. It seems like I always get that. And where we've been... Whenever people start talking about outreach, they start talking about going overseas, going outside the area, which is good, which is well and good. In fact, we spent a lot of time, I don't know how many years in Honduras. Jody mentioned that today. We went to Honduras for many years, built a clinic. We spent time in, Jody and the nurses spent time in the clinic taking care of kids. Amazing when we see that. Killing spiders. She hates spiders. And boy, there are spiders in Honduras. Remember those, Jody? And she left. Oh, it's just amazing. So much fun. But we've always been overseas, it seems like. And then when people go overseas, not necessarily for a mission trip or an outreach trip, it turns into that. There was a group that went from Evangel and the city to Israel. And they went for themselves, but it turned out to be, let's clean up trash. Because there was a garbage strike during that time. So they spent a day or two cleaning up trash in Israel. The media came. They did a story on them. So it turns out to be that. The Lord took them there for a certain reason, but it turned into something else. But evangel is kind of, even though we've gone overseas, we spend a lot of time doing things locally. There is, I think, a value in that. That we're asked to come alongside other churches. We're asked to come alongside the city. We went down to Mississippi, as a group. That was a mission trip. That was an outreach trip. And I know that some people say, I can't afford it. I can't go. I, for whatever reason, that's fine. But we do a lot financially and for outreach. And I don't think and Wayne will probably end up talking a little bit about it. But here's just some of the things that evangel is involved in. And it's most all local. We give, when we do tithes and offering, we give to five ministries. CPC, the chaplaincy, Jerry and Leslie, Love Inc., and then Kenya, Africa. So there's a portion of what you guys give that go to those five ministries. And they're every quarter, so there's four times a year. And financially, it's amazing. We just went to a CPC banquet last week. And Cindy and Tammy both worked there. And they do amazing work. Even though I've known Cindy and definitely Tammy really well. Not really knowing exactly what they do. The money that goes to CPC and they get is saving lives. It's kingdom work. It isn't paying their wages. It isn't paying for a crib. During this banquet, they did an ultrasound for a young lady. Live ultrasound. We got to see a baby. 16 weeks, 20 weeks, something like that, Cindy? 16 weeks. And they were saying that the young man lady came in to do an ultrasound at the clinic, at the mobile unit, and he wasn't overtly excited. But once they saw a picture of the baby, he became real excited that there was a baby there, a life saved. So it's amazing. So it isn't always walking out and going overseas. Jerry and Leslie, I think, will be going overseas. They have an amazing ministry to other nations. That takes money, and it takes time, and it takes putting labor, putting your feet to the ground. But some of the other things, ESS. Tracy does an amazing job with ESS. She has a heart for ESS. She does boxes. Every month, Tracy, now? Every month. And they're filled with love. They're filled with letters. They're filled with stuff for the ladies at emergency support shelter. Some that probably haven't seen love or felt love for a long, long time feel that. Tri-Hop. If you don't know, we do have a Three Rivers House of Prayer here and worship. They use our building. Very little rent. And they're changing the atmosphere. We may not think they are, but they are. International House of Prayer, a lot of us have gone back there. Some of us said, oh, we're going back there for ourselves, but it actually turned out to be a mission trip, especially when we were getting to know Ian. So our finances and our time. We've done, where's Renee? Mike would know about Community House. We've been doing that for years. You guys can go and be part of that. I don't have any money. I don't have any time to go away, but you can go once a month, 45 feet away, and outreach. When we go out of our four walls, things happen. And if we allow the Lord to actually go through, it's just amazing what he can do. So what's coming up? There are some things in the wind that are coming up. Guatemala has been mentioned, about actually going overseas, going to Guatemala, helping out in orphanages. There will probably be opportunities to go to Africa. If you feel strong to go overseas, there are opportunities. And evangel is going to be part of those. So there's always that avenue. But if you don't want to go to Guatemala, don't want to go to Africa, don't want to go here, I want to go to Iraq. Does anyone want to go there with me? The Lord told me I'm going. There's two hands. The Lord told me years ago.
Talk to Tammy about that.
Yeah, I have, and that's not looking good. The Lord has to do a miracle there. The Lord told me years ago that I would go to Iraq. Now, I have the contacts, but the Lord hasn't said go yet. But anyway, it's those wild things. But if you don't want to go anywhere or you can't go anywhere, there are things to do. CPC is always looking for volunteers. Love Inc. is looking for volunteers. I mean, I can go on and on and on. ESS. Tracy is always looking for help. And that's not a slam on any of them. It's just enter in. See what the Lord has. And listen. your money, like I say, part of it is saving lives. And wherever we go, it's amazing what it can do. It truly is.
When Mike started talking about unity of the body, this is not my assigned topic. I'll get there in just a second. Mine won't take very long. So, but really, when I think of Evangel and who we are, one of the things that to me is the most precious and the most unique and the thing that gives us an identity of our own is that we don't necessarily have an identity of our own, because every one of us, and I assume you, if you've been coming here for any length of time, sees yourself as not only members of or part of the body here at Evangel, but of a city church. The relationships that we have with so many different churches in town is, first of all, an incredible blessing, an incredible miracle, but one that in recognition of Pastor Appreciation Sunday, it's one that Jeff started us out on from the very beginning. When we first started meeting as a group of like 20 people, 20 couples or less, one of the first things that happened was Jeff wasn't the only voice we heard, because he invited other pastors to come and share their hearts with us, a brand new body in town. And over and over and over again, Jeff had people come. We actually met in the evenings, and so a lot of times the pastors that had been teaching at their church in the morning were free to come and speak into our lives and get to know us a little bit. and Jeff, of course, had an opportunity, and many of the rest of us did too, to actually visit other churches and just be there to support them, just be there to hear what was going on. And that relationship... A big part of that was a pastor's prayer summit that occurs every year, where pastors get together. And that has grown from tiny and really struggling to something that's amazing. And there are pastors that meet here every week and have for 35 years. The pastors in this city, not every single one, but a large group of pastors, have been meeting together and praying together and supporting each other as pastors for like 35 years. I had the privilege of getting to go with Jeff down to one of the early pastor's prayer summits down at the beach. And we walked in there, and I was so moved, because I've never been around a bunch of more hurting guys in my life than all those pastors that were there, many of whom had to beg just to get the time off, much less any support to be there. Had to really, really, really make some things happen in order to even just be able to be there for a couple of days. And it wasn't a Sunday preaching day, it was the middle of week stuff, and they just couldn't get away. They didn't have the support, they didn't have the, and you know, I just fell in love with a bunch of those guys, just because I just felt, for them, and that group, Jeff could tell you a lot more about that right now. But that group is not necessarily that way anymore. It's actually a resource now for pastors to come and be encouraged, and just like it was in the beginning. But anyway, so when I think of Evangel and the unity of the body, that's what I think about. We have always been a part of a larger group of people here, and that's a big part of who we are. So that's not what I was supposed to talk about. I had to write some stuff down, because I wasn't sure I'd be able to articulate it otherwise. But I was actually asked to share on stewardship and finances at Evangel. And I'm not really sure how I wound up inheriting this topic, because although I do routinely help process the giving on Sundays, the tithes and offerings that come in each Sunday, actually Rick Stonex and Kurt Williams have been the ones who have volunteered to take responsibility, along with Jeff and the other elders, to properly and prayerfully steward our financial resources here. And that means taking the money that God provides and using it in such a way as to advance God's kingdom. from cookies in the kids' classroom to making sure that we have a paid nursery person there to watch the little children that are too young to go into class, to building houses for widows in Kenya. That all takes financial resources. We've got a mortgage on this building to ensure that there's a safe and appropriate place for prayer and worship and teaching, for evangel, and for many other groups who serve the body of Christ and others here. We pay for insurance and utilities and maintenance, and we've got plans for some necessary and helpful upgrades to the building. And then there's other ministries that Patrick already listed off that we also support. The ones he was talking about, and I'm not just talking about the individual gifts that many of you give to those ministries too. That's actually something that we as a body, through our giving, are able to help support in the name of evangel. And of course, we provide an income for Jeff and his family so that he can serve the body of evangel and other pastors and the Church of Longview Kelso full time. So I mentioned that we do all this with the resources that God provides. I am familiar with the fish that coughed up the coin at Jesus' direction so Peter could go and pay the temple tax. But here, things work a little differently. I actually, because we process the giving each Sunday, I've never actually found a check in the bucket up here that was drawn from some heavenly bank account with Jesus' physical signature on the bottom. No, here another kind of miracle happens. Here people make a choice. People learn that God cares for them and provides for them and their needs. Here, people learn that the Lord's number one competitor for ownership of our hearts is money and what it can do for us. Jesus didn't say, when he was talking about you can't serve two masters, he didn't say you cannot serve God and Satan. What he said was, you can't serve God and money. Here, people make a choice to either make sure I take care of me first. That's the assumption that it's all for my consumption. Or to trust God and focus on the needs of others instead of ourselves exclusively, ourselves first. Now, this isn't a sermon on tithing, but it is a lesson on kingdom things, because in the world, when you look at finances, the world says, you have this amount of money and you're going to use this to live on. And if there's any left over, if you're wise, you might save a little bit. And if there's anything left over after that, you might give. But in the kingdom, we're called to give first. And if you're wise, maybe set a little something aside in your savings and live on the remainder. It's exactly the opposite of the way God handles finances. God thinks about our financial resources. So on behalf of the elders, including Jeff, for all of those of you who give regularly of your tithes and offerings, thank you. And for any of you who have struggled in this area, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't let fear or guilt or your financial circumstances at the moment keep you from moving toward a new level of trust and God's provision for you in your life. God is amazingly faithful to his children. And if you need help in that area, I mean, by all means, feel free to contact Jeff or one of the elders, and we'll get you started down that path. It's real, real practical things that you can do to start moving in that direction. So, thank you.
I love that guy. He's awesome. He's my friend. So hang on, I get my 3-point sermon out. You think I'm joking?
No.
I put together a PowerPoint. I did. Okay, so bullet point number one. We were asked to cast a vision, and I got the children's ministry and the youth. And I've been praying about it and thought about it. And there's some values that we value here at Evangel. And they're on our website. They're in the news notes. And it's to break down dividing walls, restore relationship between people groups, and invest heavily in next generation of believers. And that's, we strongly believe in that. And that's our goal. And when, so in children's ministry and youth ministry, that's our goal, to break down walls, build up people, and restore. And so there is this pamphlet here that our wonderful Carrie Beth, who leads our children's ministry, she put together. And right in the front of it, there's a mission statement and a vision that's been casted. And so I don't want to cast new vision today for the children's ministry, but I want to help fulfill that vision that's already been casted. And the vision that we have, the team has put together, the children's ministry team, the teachers and the leaders put together, here is the mission statement: teaching biblical foundations, as well as allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us as we grow in relationship with Jesus and each other. And here's the vision that was cast: to raising up warriors for Christ, raising up a generation of young people who are completely in love with Jesus, clothed in armor of God, and who are prepared to do his work here on earth. So, that's good stuff. I'm just going to honor the right now, just take a minute to honor the everybody who's been involved in our children's ministry. You know, and it starts with Mike and Renee, and Jody are the ones that laid the foundation, and many more. And they've done it for 27 years, faithfully, loved our children, and laid down a foundation. And I love that Mike pulled out his Bible, because that's who Mike is. He lays down a biblical foundation, and he's been doing that for years and years. So he set a foundation and a vision for the body of Evangel that others have come along over the years and been able to jump in and be a part of. And they've never held on too tightly that they've not allowed other people to be involved. And so this thing has grown, and it's been tweaked, and it's evolved into what it is today, which is an amazing thing. And all because of these people who have volunteered. And Renee has been there. I mean, she raised all my kids in children's ministry, buying Jacob toys. We were talking about the other day. She would always buy Jacob little figurines, little toys in the classroom when he was little. So Rick and Cindy, too. Yes, Cindy is very involved, too. Yes, and Jody. I said Jody. All of them. So, but I'm going to miss somebody. If I missed you, I'm sorry. So, but I also want to honor the ones who are involved now, which, you know, like Cassie's stepped up. She's helping out now. Tracy's been back there many times. Tammy's back there, obviously, weekly. Carrie Best back there, like, every week. Colleen. I don't even know if you guys know Colleen, because she's always back there. Colleen doesn't even know some of the parents of those kids back there, because she spends so much time back there. But that's a whole nother, I won't get on that right now. But she knows the kids, and she loves those kids, and she spends so much time with those kids. And Randy, oh my gosh, they love Randy. Randy has invested so much in those kids, and those kids got to invest so much in him as well. It's such an amazing picture to see. And so we're doing this together as a family, and that's our goal, is to break down dividing walls and restore relationships. And here's my little plug for all of this, is we've been talking about family and how family can function and be a healthy family. And the way that we can be a healthy family is we need everybody, not just a handful. We need everybody to play a role in this. The way we're going to fulfill this vision with our kids, to raise them up to be successful warriors for Christ, is everybody has to play a role. Whether it be just to help clean up after class, or just to love on a child and give them attention when they need it, or when you see them doing something they shouldn't be doing and you step in and just say, hey, you know. But we need everybody to in this thing. Because if a healthy family is, people participate. You do things even when you don't necessarily feel it or want to, but you play a part in it. Over 20 years ago, we started coming to Evangel, and my wife got involved in teaching the children, and I didn't want to do it because I didn't like kids. But you know what? I'm back there all the time because I love kids. Because you know what? There was a lot of my kids that were in the class. And so, like, what am I doing not being involved? If they're my kids, then I need to be involved. You know? And obviously I can do that at home, but there's a part that you have to play as well when you come together as a family and fill in those gaps. You know, and trust me, we're not, and like, I'm going to throw it out there. Like, we want volunteers. And I want you guys to step up. I'm challenging you. We need all of you. You have something to offer. Whether you think you do or you don't, you do. God's placed you here strategically. Those kids are the next generation of leaders. And the only way they're going to lead successfully is if we teach them and give them the tools and equip them with what they need. Amen? It's very true, and it's all in the Bible. I have many scriptures in here. I could read them all, but I won't do that. But if I was to look at some of it, I mean, just when Jesus talks about the most important commandment, you know, that's our goal, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love our neighbor. And so we teach that to our kids. Kids, this is how we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if they can do that successfully, then maybe they will be a successful adult. We don't want to see a generation of children that leave the church, you know? And so I'm going to touch a little bit on the youth. Like, you know, we don't have a lot of youth right now. I have two teenagers, and there's a few youth in the room. And what we've done with that is we've come together, and we broke down walls in the city, and we have a citywide youth group. And so there's a couple churches that are involved in that. And that's where our youth go, just in case you didn't know that. That's what happens with our youth. And that's only on a Wednesday night. They do a lot of stuff. But on Sundays, we don't have anything for the youth right now. We just don't. They're sitting out here because they don't have nowhere to go. And that's fine because, this is good that they're out here and with us because I want them to be with us. But right now, like I said, we only have two or three youth. But have you been back in the classroom? There's 30 kids. And it won't be very long before those kids are going to be youth. Yeah, yeah. So God's got to deposit something in somebody's heart in this room. Yeah, yeah. Today. A calling on their life. That who's going to step in and take that role. Yeah? Because we're going to have a whole lot of youth in this room in a few years. And we have nothing in plan for that. I'm just being honest. We trust God, and we know that He's going to have a plan. He has a plan. And I'm not worried about it. I really am not worried about it. I'm not doing this to make you feel bad. I'm just saying, I want to challenge you and encourage you. If the Lord lays this upon your heart, get involved. It's simple. You talk to Wayne, talk to Carrie, get a background check, and all you got to do is just show up in the classroom. You don't even have to teach them. You're just going to be there to love them. You love them like God loves you, and you show them what love is all about. And that is how it's done, and that's how we're doing it. And we want you guys to be involved. We don't want this to be just a handful of people. Yeah, so I'm getting a little preachy here, sorry. So let's just read this. You guys know who D.L. Moody is, right? He was he started D.L. Moody Institute. He was an evangelist in the 1800s. He was part of the holiness movement. Very well-known guy. This is a quote from him. This is a really powerful quote. He said this, "If I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God." If he could do it all again, he would have went back and he would have invested in the children. Man, these are the guys who are going to take care of us when we're on our deathbeds. They're the ones that are going to be running this place. I heard this interview they were doing with Banning Liebster, and the guy's like, "Banning, you did an amazing job when you were a youth leader." And he's like, "Okay." And he's like, "You know why? Because when you were a youth leader, you raised up leaders, because his whole, almost his entire youth group are all in leadership in the church today. He raised up leaders, not just entertained them and pushed them by. That's our goal, man. We got to raise these guys up to be leaders in the church. We got to create. We got to put aside our own selfish desires sometimes, you know, and invest, you know. Like I said, when I started out, when I went to the classroom, I didn't want to be back there, but my heart changed, you know, and now I love being back there. So it's cool. So if I could cast a little vision here, do I got enough time? If I was to cast a vision for like I said, we want to continue to fulfill this vision, but I want to say, you know, if we could do more, I want this place to be a place where people can just come all the time. That you could do family here all the time. That there would be things going on here that would be so inviting that people could just come and just be here. That they could bring their children and they wouldn't feel threatened. They would feel comfortable. I mean, I would love to see eventually down the road have a bigger property and a bigger building so that we could do the things, fulfill even more of the things that we want to do. I want to see where we can have a garden and where we can have a sports complex and we can have a picnic area and we can have like just these things where we can just be together all the time. You know, that's that, but that's, like I said, I'm just throwing that out there. That's just a vision that's in my heart. But anyway, so we have a vision here at Evangel in the children's ministry, and we want to continue to fulfill that vision, and we need people to love our children. So thank you all who serve and what you do. I really appreciate it. I love you guys.
Yeah. On what Kevin said, I had to on. They asked the elders to actually come back. Mike has always been back there, and Kevin, but Wayne, Rick, and I haven't, not as much. And so one of the leaders' thoughts were, let's have the elders come back. And so I had the honor, and it was true on the last couple of weeks, being back there with the kids. And our kids are amazing. You parents who have kids that go back there, or grandkids, they're getting it. I was sitting listening as Colleen was teaching. Again, I wasn't teaching. I was just kind of helping. And she was asking biblical questions that the kids were answering, that I had no clue. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. How do you know that? When she asked and Mamie started talking, it's like, they're getting it. Our kids are getting it. Not only are they getting it in there, they're getting it from you, but because I feel that we love them out here and allow them to be themselves out here, they're getting it. When we prayed over the kids a couple months ago, and Amara speaking into our kids' life, to her peers, it's like, that is so cool. And so I agree with Kevin. If you want to hang around some kids that are really exciting, fun to hang around with, just go back. Just hang out with them. I mean, it really is infectious, these little guys. You guys
can. And Kim. Kim's always invested hugely into the kids. If I missed anybody. Sure. Jeff, do you have something you're supposed to talk about?
No. We need to eat.
Yeah.
This whole thing of family is really, really important right now. You're going to hear that word come up over and over again. And it's not because the Evangel family is weak and we're trying to make it stronger. It's because it's literally a move of God in the nation right now. There are things, we're moving towards family. The body of Christ is moving towards family. So if you think that this is just an agenda we have, that's not really what's happening at all. I mean, this conversation wouldn't have come up 5 years ago that we had today. But there's something happening with the body of Christ in the United States right now where we're moving towards being empowered as a family. And I just want to make one thing really clear. In this family, I am not the father. That's not, we don't focus on this whole picture of us being a family so that I can be dad. I am not the father of this family. We have a Father in heaven. who we listen to really closely and try to follow his lead. The Spirit is in us, and so that connection with the Father is real. I know that we're following the Father because the Spirit of God in me tells me that. And Jesus is the focus of all of our attention when we worship. It's Jesus that we worship. It's not a leader in this church. So we are a family because God called us family, because that's who he said we were. And we're all moving together. So we're all part of this. And we have a lot invested in family, but nothing compared to where we're going. Where we're going is going to be so phenomenal compared to where we're at right now. And it's not because we've got a plan. It's because we're letting the Holy Spirit empower us to be who God called us to be, which is the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ who have one Father, and he's amazing. Our Father is amazing. And he has plans for his family. He has plans for the children of God, and we're going to go with him wherever he wants us to go. And we're not just going alone. We're going with other congregations in town who also see themselves as a family of God. Amen? Amen. So we got some food, lots of food to eat. Please don't leave. Please stick around. Get to know the people who are around you. Sit with somebody you don't know. Eat somebody's food and trust that you're going to enjoy it. Have a great time. Yes. No women's Bible. Yeah, we did mention that earlier. No women's Bible and no men's Bible study this week. But there is Bible study tomorrow night. Lord.